According to National Crime Information Center, over 600,000 Americans get reported missing every year. Over 85,000 stay that way. The FBI says there's over 25 to 50 active serial killers in America at any time. Yes, we truly do live in a land of monsters. These are some of their stories. Welcome to Among Monsters, a true crime podcast brought to you by Jeremy Hansen. Hello, and I am Jeremy Hansen, and this is Among Monsters. Today, we want to talk about someone who you would think we would have heard a lot about. What if you had the privilege of being an NFL player and you turned serial killer? Not just NFL player. What if you were privileged from the time you were born? What if you grew up in a wealthy family where success means everything? Well, today we are going to be talking about Randall Brent Woodfield. That's right, he was an NFL player. In 1974, he was drafted by the Green Bay Packers in the 17th round of the 1974 draft. And because of sexual deviance problems, he didn't even make it to play a game. Now, Randall Woodfield was born on a cold December 26th day in 1950 in Salem, Oregon. He was the third child of an upper-middle-class family. His mother was a homemaker, and his father was an executive at Pacific Northwest Bell. He had two older sisters, one of them who went to become a doctor, and another one became an attorney. The Woodfield family was well-known and very respected in their community. Now, Woodfield was raised in Otter Creek, Oregon, a small, beautiful seaside town approximately 8 miles north of Newport, Oregon. Popular among his peers, he was a football star at Newport High School. Through his childhood, by all accounts, was fun, stable, and privileged. Woodfield began to exhibit sexually dysfunctional behaviors during junior high school, particularly exposing himself in public. While in high school, Woodfield exposed himself to a group of teenage girls on Yaquina Bay Bridge and was arrested. Now, his football coaches, they concealed the incident to prevent him from being ousted from the team because of his physical prowess, though his parents did force him to attend therapy after this young incident. After graduating from high school, Woodfield's criminal record was expunged and he attended Treasure Valley Community College in Ontario, Oregon, later transferring to Portland State University in Portland in 1970, where he played for the Portland State Vikings as a wide receiver. At Portland State, he was active in the Campus Crusade for Christ, an evangelical Christian student group, and lived in an apartment located on the South Park blocks. Gary Hamblett, Woodfield's football coach, recalled, "When he was with me, he was the nicest, most gentlemanly kid I ever knew. He was quiet, he was polite, hardworking, and very coachable." Other teammates and peers of Woodfield recalled him as very soft-spoken and kind of a loner who didn't have a lot of friends, but noted his tremendous athleticism. Despite his thriving in college, Woodfield was arrested on several occasions for petty crimes, first in 1970 for vandalizing the apartment of his ex-girlfriend, and later in 1972 for, again, public indecency in Vancouver, Washington. In 1973, he was arrested again for public indecency in Multnomah County, Oregon. Woodfield chose to drop out of college 3 semesters shy of graduating with his bachelor's in science in physical education and was selected as a wide receiver in the 1974 NFL draft by the Green Bay Packers in the 17th round. He was the 428th pick. Woodfield tried to establish himself with the Packers during coach and general manager Dan Devine's last season, but could not shake his problems with a trip across the country. He signed a contract in February 1974, but was cut during training camp before he could play a game, failing to make the team's final roster. After being cut by the Packers, Woodfield played the 1974 season with the semi-pro Manitowoc Chiefs and worked for Oshkosh Truck in Wisconsin. Now, this is where the big downfall starts. Woodfield left Wisconsin in late 1974 and returned to Portland, feeling disgraced by his failure to maintain his football career. And in early 1975, several women in Portland were accosted by a knife-wielding man, making them perform oral sex on him and then robbing them of their valuables and their handbags. Law enforcement responded to the string of crimes by having female police officers act as decoys. And on March 3rd, 1975, Woodfield was arrested after being caught with marked money from one of the undercover officers. Upon interrogation, he confessed to the crimes, blaming poor sexual impulse control, which he claimed was the result of his steroid use. In April 1975, Woodfield pled guilty to reduced charges of second-degree robbery. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison, but all too common, he was freed on parole in July 1979 after having only served 4 years. Very shortly after being paroled on October 9, 1980, Sherry Lynn Ayers, an X-ray technician and former classmate of Woodfield, was raped and murdered in her apartment at Southwest 9th Place in downtown Portland. Her body was discovered on October 11th by her fiancé. She had been bludgeoned and stabbed repeatedly in the neck. Ayers, a University of Oregon graduate, had known Woodfield since second grade, having attended the same schools in Newport. During Woodfield's prior 4-year imprisonment, he and Ayers had corresponded via letters. Suspecting Woodfield's involvement in Sherry Lynn's murder, Ayers' family provided his name to law enforcement. He was questioned but refused to sit for a polygraph test. Homicide detective found his answers generally evasive and deceptive, but because his blood type did not match the semen found in the victim's body, no charges were filed. 1 month later, on the morning of November 27th, that's Thanksgiving Day, Woodfield arrived at the North Portland home of Darcy Renee Fix, 22 years old. This he had planned to assault her. Woodfield had known Fix during college as an ex-girlfriend of one of his close friends, Douglas Keith Altig, who was 24. He was at Fix's home when Woodfield arrived. Both Fix and Altig were subsequently bound and shot to death execution style in the home, and Fix's 32 caliber revolver was missing from the scene. Due to his acquaintance with Fix, Woodfield was questioned about the murders again, but law enforcement found no concrete evidence pointing to his involvement. Now, Randall Woodfield is known as the I-5 killer, not to be misconstrued with the I-5 strangler, and some people have called him the I-5 bandit. Later on, February 13th, 1981, the bodies of Donna Eckard, 37, and her 14-year-old daughter, Janelle Charlotte Jarvis, were found together in a bed in their home in Mountain Gate, California, north of Redding. Each had been shot several times in the head, and forensic tests showed that the girl had also been sexually assaulted. The same day in Redding, a female store clerk was kidnapped and raped in a holdup, and an identical crime was reported in Eureka, California on February 4th, with the same man robbing an Ashland, Oregon motel that night. 5 days later, in Corvallis, a man matching the I-5 bandit's description held up a fabric store, molested the clerk and her customer before he left on February 12, 1981. Robberies committed by a man matching the I-5 bandit's description occurred in Vancouver, Olympia, and Bellevue, Washington. The Olympia and Bellevue incidents included 3 separate sexual assaults. Upon an impending visit to Portland, Woodfield planned a Valentine's Day party at the city's downtown Marriott Hotel, inviting friends and acquaintances from colleges. After no guests came, Woodfield drove to the Beaverton home of 18-year-old Julie Wrights, who he had met while working as a bouncer at the Faucet, a bar in Portland. He arrived at her home around 2 a.m. on Friday the 15th. Around 4 a.m., he raped and then shot Wrights in the head, killing her. Police investigating the scene determined that Wrights had had a glass of wine with her attacker and had also begun to prepare coffee. A package of instant coffee was discovered on the kitchen counter and water kettle had been left to completely boil away. Surprising, we haven't heard about this person. Drafted, went to training camp with the Packers. You see, Randall Brent Woodfield is an American serial killer, serial rapist, kidnapper, robber, burglar, and a former pro football player. Now, he's been dubbed the I-5 killer, the I-5 bandit by the media due to the crimes he committed along the Interstate 5 corridor running through Washington, Oregon, and California. Before his capture, Woodfield was suspected of multiple sexual assaults and murders. Though convicted in only one murder, he has been linked to 18 murders through DNA and ballistics, and he is suspected by law enforcement of killing up to as many as 44 people. A native of Oregon, Woodfield was the third child of a prominent Newport family. He began to exhibit abnormal behaviors during his teenage years and was arrested for indecent exposure while still in high school. An athlete for much of his life, Woodfield played as a wide receiver for the Portland State Vikings and was drafted by the NFL League in the 1974 draft to play for the Green Bay Packers, but was cut from the team during training after a series of, you guessed it, indecent exposure arrests. In 1975, Woodfield began a string of robberies and sexual assaults on women in Portland, which he committed at knife point. Between 1980 and 1981, he committed multiple murders in cities along the I-5 corridor. His earliest documented murder was that of Sherry Ayers, a former classmate who he had known since childhood. In October 1980, after committing numerous violent crimes, Woodfield was arrested in March of 1981 and convicted in June of the murder of Sherry Hull and attempted murder of her co-worker Beth Wilmot. He was sentenced to life in prison plus 90 years. In a subsequent trial, he was convicted of sodomy and improper use of a weapon in a sexual assault case, receiving 35 additional years to his sentence. Woodfield has never confessed to any of the crimes of which he has been accused or convicted. Though he has only been convicted of one murder and one attempted murder, he has been linked by DNA and other methods to numerous unsolved homicides in the ensuing decades. Authorities have estimated that his total number of killings are probably to be as many as 44. And CBS News has named him one of the deadliest serial killers in American history. He is currently incarcerated at the Oregon State Penitentiary. Randall Brent Woodfield is a reminder that no matter where you come from or what your physical prowess is, or if you're handsome, charismatic, you can still be deadly. You all stay safe out there. Thanks for listening to Among Monsters, and this is Jeremy Hansen.